Mike, who you take?
Okay, that'll be it. Any other questions? Come on, Jim, you can come up with something.
How difficult is it to move up into the top 10 when you have 21?
Well, it's not hard to move up at all. It all depends what you want to give away to move up. You know, sometimes it's a little bit tougher to move back when people aren't interested in obviously moving back. So it's, you know, it's part of talking to teams that have an interest in, you know, moving back and accumulating draft choices either this year or, you know, years to come. And so you kind of communicate with a lot of people, and very seldom do you ever get anything done.
In a perfect world, would you like some picks in the fourth and the fifth? And also,
well, you know, our pick in the sixth round is not a whole lot different than our pick was before in the fifth round when we traded with Detroit. So that's not, we got two in the sixth and 17 picks or whatever it is. That's not a big difference. You know, we got an extra fourth rounder next year, so you know that kind of works out. And whatever happens with Jake, that's another possibility there. So we got a lot of irons in the fire, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
When you look at your roster, Mike, in general, would you say that what you need is quantity of talent and quality?
Well, I think you always need quality. And if you can get both of them, quality and quantity, I think you really hit a great draft. I think we got both last year. I think we had quality and quantity. And you're hoping that you can do that this year. And, you know, anytime you draft people, you know, everybody talks about position needs or, you know, specifics. But what you need is people to make your 45-man roster, and obviously that will help you down the line if it's free agency or if it's restricted free agency, just putting your best team together.
I think there's a strong chance you will move up. I have the chance to move up.
Well, like I said, you know, we will talk to people. You know, we talk to people every year. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. We still can move back. We could stay put, depending what we feel the value is if we do move up. You know, you're just not going to move up to move up. There's a lot of times you feel like you can get the same player by staying still. Sometimes you can move back and get the same player and get an additional draft pick. So, you know, we got a game plan, different people that we're looking for, and there is a possibility to move up, and there's also a possibility to move back, depending on who's there.
Can you talk about your options at middle linebacker?
Yeah, we've got a couple different options. You know, obviously, we got a opportunity to put DJ into the middle if we'd like to do that. Again, you know, depending on the competition there with Webster and a couple of linebackers that we've signed recently or yesterday, and obviously some of the depth on our team. But, you know, we've got nine guys right now, and what we're going to try to do is find out who the best three are. We got a little different type system with our linebackers this year than we've had in the past. A little bit more man coverage type scheme than we've had in the past. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, who really steps up and earns a position.
How much distinction do you make between middle linebackers and outside linebackers? Do you have any experience transferring one from one to the other, like with DJ?
Yeah, I think DJ is a guy that really fits the middle linebacker mold pretty quickly and easily. You know, he's 240-something pounds, which means he's, you know, he usually can take the punishment being that type size. He's got great speed and quickness, and a very smart guy, so I think it'd be natural for him to make that transition, but until he actually does it, you don't know for sure. But he'll be working at that position, you know, or he has been working at that position over the last couple of weeks, you know, just through our OTAs or basically our off-season program. And I'll be surprised if he doesn't step up and he fits the mold of a middle linebacker.
I haven't had a chance to talk to you this month yet. How tough was the decision with Al, being how long you've been here with him?
Oh, it's, you know, as we've talked about before, it's very, very tough. Anytime you deal with players that have really played well for you, they've been your captain, and you respect the heck out of them, it's really tough. And that's why I think the toughest part about football is right now. You're dealing with salary cap, you're dealing with contracts, and, you know, it's tough. You got to put your best football team together. You got to evaluate everybody's play each year. You got to evaluate the money situation and put your best football team together. So it is pretty tough.
Do you think he'll play again?
Pardon me?
Do you think he'll play again?
I really don't know, to be honest with you. I really don't know. I don't think Al knows right now. After I had a talk with Al, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about it, but I'm hoping he's all right.
Well, was that decision, like, based primarily on money, his health, or his performance?
Well, I'm not going to go into detail, but I think I just reviewed exactly what you just said. When you have to make those tough decisions, you know, it is based on salary. You know, you get a Pro Bowl player that has been in the league and has played quite well. It's also based on injury. It's based on salary cap. It's based on putting your best football team together, looking at your needs. And you've got to come up with some money. You've got to make some tough decisions that gives you the best chance to win. And that's what I think is the toughest part of about this job right now, dealing with the salary cap and dealing with injuries, dealing with performances. And I would never go into detail which one it was for obvious reasons, but all I can say is, you know, I had a chance to sit down with Al for a lengthy conversation, and I think the world of him.
When you saw your schedule, anything popped out at you?
Still playing the same teams I thought we were playing. All you find out is when you're playing them, but no, I think it's a little bit better schedule than it was the last couple of years, so I feel pretty good about the schedule. You know, hopefully we can take advantage of it.
What do you mean by better?
Not as tough as it has been. Now, could wind up being tougher. You never know. But I thought the last 2 years probably the toughest schedule that we've had in the history of this organization, the last 2 years.
You ever recall playing 6 road games in 8 weeks like you have for this year?
Oh, yeah. You never know. You've been in this, you know, you've been in it long enough. You know, you're going to have stretches, you know. Sometimes you'll have 3 home games and 3 away games. You know, that doesn't happen a lot, but every once in a while it happens. You know, I hate to get in that situation where you got, you know, 3 in a row. As long as that's not the case, you're going to have, you know, sometimes 5 home, 3 away, 3 home. It's going to average out that, you know, way. You got a bye week in there, and so it'll work out pretty good.
Mike, do you think there's some good quality return men in this draft?
Yeah, I think there is. I think we got some good quality return men now. Dominic Hickson is back. You know, he's looking real good right now. I think we'll give Brandon Marshall an opportunity to return some. You know, he's a natural. On natural hands. He's wanting to do it last year. I didn't want to put him in that situation. Dre Bly has done it before. Not to say that's where we're going to put him, but we do have a few guys that have done it.
As a group, how do you like the defensive ends at the top of this
draft? I think defensive line in general is a little bit deeper than it has been. I think wide receivers a little bit deeper than it has been. I think safeties are a little bit deeper than it has been. So I think, you know, it's a couple more than they usually have, you know, in the first few rounds.
Do you know enough about how your injured guys are coming on, like guys coming out there like Ferguson and Brandon and Lepsley? Do you have a good enough feel where their rehabs are at?
Yeah, I think they're all feeling pretty good. You know, I've talked to each one of the guys you've mentioned, and they feel like they're going to be ready.
Does that affect you this weekend, where those guys are?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if they weren't ready, it would really affect you. But if you feel like they'll be ready to go, and you know, you're talking to the doctors and the trainers, and they give you a date that they'll be ready by May 16th, ready to go in our OTA days, or June 1st, or July 9th, whatever the date may be, gives you a little bit, you know, better security that you don't have to maybe reach at a position if a guy wasn't going to be back for obvious reasons. I can't tell you for sure. I just, from the doctor's standpoint, he's going to be ready to go once we start our fall camp. So he feels that way, or I should say summer camp. So hopefully there's no setback, and he feels really good about it, and he's working every day, and so far, so good.
Mike, can you tell us how Javon is doing? Is he participating in this?
Well, you know, as I talked about it, the same thing happened to me. I don't think you ever get over it. And, you know, it's a situation when you have somebody die in your arms that's a good friend of yours. I don't know if you ever get over it. But Javon's been working extremely hard in the off-season program. They've been throwing and catching Tuesdays and Thursdays. And, you know, he's leading the pack. He's doing great. You know, he's doing everything that you're hoping he's going to do. He's healthy this year. And, you know, I think he feels good about the system, good about the offense, good about himself. A year ago, he had just a watch. And anytime you're going through rehab and you're not used to going through rehab, it's tough. But he's looking extremely good right now. Attitude's great. And so hopefully just keep on getting better.
Have you talked for the 100th time about your perspective on best available player versus need in the first round?
Well, I think everybody, number one, looks at need first. I mean, you want a guy that can help you now. I mean, that would be the perfect scenario. But a lot of times you'll get to that position and maybe the top one or two guys that you think can come in are gone. And you look at another position where you might be a little bit deeper, but you feel like it's a slam dunk that this guy will be a Pro Bowl player. You know, you can't pass that up, and you can't project a player sometimes. So I think a lot of times people will reach for a guy because of a need, and it comes back to haunt them. So, you know, there's a fine line there. What are you going to do? And from experience, from reaching in the past, that you got to be very careful.
Mike, wide receiver is a position that typically isn't at the very top or near the top of the draft. Calvin Johnson, I mean, you've been evaluating wideouts forever. Does he stand out as one of the better ones you've ever looked at?
Yeah, he's, he has all the things that you look for, but he's, extremely bright. You know, he's just a class act. Anytime you get a guy 6'5", 235, 240, that can run in that 4.3 range, that doesn't happen very often. And you've got all the intangibles that go with him. So that's why he's projected as a top guy.
Given what you felt your needs were at the beginning of the offseason, you've been very active in free agency, now comes the draft and whatnot. How do you think you're doing as far as fulfilling your needs?
Well, we felt like we had addressed the tight end position. We needed a strong blocker and a strong receiver, and we think we got that in Daniel Graham. We thought we needed some depth at the running back position. We thought we got a guy that is extremely powerful in Travis Henry. You take a look at the quarterback position, and you want some depth there, and you take a guy like Patrick Ramsey, and you take a guy that has played in a lot of football games, has started a lot of football games, a guy that we thought was very good, not only at Washington, but coming out of college, and then he goes to a different system with the Jets, and has that experience. To have that guy come in, to me, helps you in case a guy like Jay would go down. You have a guy that's been there, who has started a number of games, and feels quite comfortable with NFL defenses. And who am I forgetting? Dre Bly, I mean, on offense before. What's that? Montre Holland. Here's a guy that I really thought the world of him when he was with New Orleans, because not only could he run block, but he was a great pass blocker. So I thought he could come in and compete at that guard position as well with some of the guys we got. And he was a starter for New Orleans, and when he did start, we were very impressed with what he did. And it's hard to find those guys, obviously, early in the draft or in the middle rounds. And then Dre Bly, I think, speaks for himself, what he's done. Obviously, we needed to address the cornerback position. You know, do you address it in free agency? Do you address it in the draft? You have to have depth at that position. And obviously, with the Darrent Williams situation, we felt that this was a guy that could come in and obviously help our football team. And, Darrent was such a key for us, just his enthusiasm, the way he handled himself, and, to lose a guy like that, it's hard to find a guy that can replace him. And, even though you never want to talk about a guy taking somebody's spot, I think we all understand the situation, and Dre's going to come in here and help our football team win.
McKinley and Anger type of.
I think he can play either position. We're looking at him as a tackle. But he's a guy that has the size to be able to do both. But he's a tackle.
Do you have enough guys, quality guys, to play right now?
Well, I think Burton and Gordon are two guys that will fit our scheme better than they fitted a year ago because they're bigger. They're 300-plus defensive linemen that fit our scheme a lot better than they fit a year ago. Last year we were a little bit more quicker in the inside with the tackles. And we didn't need guys as powerful as we do now. And Burton, he'll carry a weight of 320 very easily, 325. Amon Gordon will carry the weight of 310, 315 very easily. So those two guys right there fit into our scheme better than they did a year ago. So that will help us.
Do you get enough guys at end?
No. Pardon me?
Do you have enough people at end right now?
We've got some good ends too. I think with Ebenezer Ecubon, you take a look at Elvis, what he did, John Engelberger, what he did, you got Peterson over there. And so you're always looking to upgrade at every position. But I do think we've got a little bit more depth than people think.
Can you explain, for layman's point of view, what the difference is essentially between the defensive scheme that you had and the one you're going to?
probably not as much eight-man front, where, you know, when you talk about eight-man front, each person has a one-gap responsibility. And so you don't have to be quite as big, but you have to be quick. And sometimes when you use a little bit more of the two deep, the quarter coverage, quarter half, different coverages along those lines, the nose tackles, or the what you call nose tackle and the three technique, they're more powerful guys where they don't have to worry about going from sideline to sideline. They go from tackle to tackle, and so it's more power than it is quickness.
You talked about filling all your needs at running back and tight end. Collectively, how excited were you that you were able to get quality guys like Travis Henry overall in your offseason?
Well, you know, it's at the end of the season, heck, what you're trying to do is you go back and you evaluate your team for a couple weeks. You try to sign players. You try to find where you're at to try to put the best football team together. So it's an ongoing process. It keeps you busy. And not all the time are you able to address those needs. And if you can't get them in free agency, you got to get them in the draft. And so, you know, we work to put our best football team together, and hopefully with this draft, we'll be ready to go.
You feel pretty good about where you're at going into the draft?
Oh, I feel horrible. I feel horrible.
Mike, you had so much stability among your assistants for so long. You've lost some in recent years, but you bring in a big-name coordinator, big-name special teams coach. You feel like these are the most impactful moves you've made maybe since you've been here on the staff?
Well, anytime you make, three moves in 12 years, and you make three in 1 year, obviously there's a big difference there. But I'm very happy with the coaches that we got. They're excited, and I'm excited, and, it's a new season. Talk is cheap. You got to go out there and do it, but I'm very happy with the acquisitions.
Why the decision for more power?
Pardon me?
In your defensive scheme, why power over speed?
Well, you always need speed, but when you're playing a one-gap defense to a two-gap defense, and your tackles are really going from tackle to tackle, you don't have to have as much speed as you do power. If you got to go from sideline to sideline, if these guys are 325 to 350 pounds, you can't go sideline to sideline. You just can't run like that. In a one-gap defense, you have to keep that gap integrity sideline to sideline. In this type scheme, you better keep it tackle to tackle and basically keep those offensive linemen off the linebackers because it's a two-gap scheme. We'll sit down a little bit later. We'll kind of go over some X's and O's.
I'm hoping.
That's all right.
No, I'm just saying, why did you agree that that would be the way to go?
Well, it's not only just the way to go. We'll still run some eight-man fronts. We'll still do some of the things we've done in the past. I just, anytime you bring a little bit different concept in, I like some of the things, obviously, that I see with the different matchups relative to man schemes, different people we play. You know, how do you get to the next level? How do you get into that top five defensively? And I'm hoping this gets us there.
Given the new conduct policy, character a bigger issue this year when you set your board?
Character's always been a big issue. You know, when you win championships or you're right there, usually character is what separates the great teams. That doesn't mean that there's not guys sometimes that are on the bubble. And I think there'll still be situations where people will take chances on guys. But the bottom line is guys aren't necessarily going to get a second chance. So in part of your evaluation, if a guy does do something that's not right, he may be out of the league. And so I think everybody takes that into consideration. And I think it's a great policy. I think it's great that the commissioner has the bottom line to make those decisions. He can, study every situation and kind of know it inside and out. And he's got the hammer. And that's going to make people think twice about doing something that's pretty silly.
Did it affect where you put some players on your board?
Oh, yeah. Sure does. But we've always been there. We've always been there.
With the new media policy, will it affect what kind of offensive lineman you draft?
Yeah, that's great. Much more personal.
Nalen has to meet with us? Is that
the no, he wants to head to group. He wants to head to group. That will be good. I want to see this.
Were you upset to see Dante Hall leave the division?
No. How come you change the subject so quick?
You're talking about
that was kind of nice. Tom Nalen sitting down right here talking to you guys.
Holding court.
He is next. Yeah.
Right,
exactly right. Got a haircut too. He's clean cut now. And
bring him out after the first round.
But you look around the division. Marty Schottenheimer has left the Chargers. I mean, here's a guy, he's had his issues in January, obviously, but from September through December, he's got one of the all-time great winning percentages. Do you think they're going to miss him maybe more than they think?
Well, I don't know what they think. I'm just happy he's not in our division. I think Marty's a great football coach. I always have. You know, it's like anything is, you know, people always stereotype if you don't win the big one. It's, you know, it's not easy. But he's one heck of a football coach, and you don't win as many games as he has without being great. And I always like change. I always like change. And so.
In your building?
What's that?
In your building?
No, not necessarily in our building. A little change is good.
What made you sign the extension, and are you happy that you've done that with Pat?
I'm happy because I get to spend more time with you guys for the next 5 years, especially you, because you've been so nice to me. No, it's a great honor, really, to be honest with you. I mean, how many times do you, a coach, have a chance to spend 17 years with one team? That just doesn't happen nowadays. So, you know, it's a great place to live. You got great fans. I think, you know, for you guys to put up with me for, you know, going on 13 years, there's not a lot of guys that can do that. So even though I don't say it very much, I appreciate that as well. But, you know, it's something you got to work together. You know, you got to work together. That's part of it. And I think that's what we've done since we've been here. We've had an organization from top to bottom where everybody's worked to try to, you know, get to a common goal. And when you do that, then you get a chance to have some longevity.
The whole thinking that coaches are hired to be fired, Mike, that, you know, the voice gets stale after a while and that kind of thing, that any time you wear out, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. How have you avoided that?
Well, number one, I think free agency has avoided it. You know, your team turns over. A third-year team turns over every year. I think it's a lot different than it has been. You take a look at these teams, and you're talking about salary caps and free agency, and you're talking about the draft, and, you know, it's not what it used to be. That's why I think these OTA days are so, you know, so important. Character of your football team, you know, working, you know, there's so many things that are involved now. And, you know, you try to change things up, too. You know, if you don't have a lot of change, and kind of keep things fresh.
Mike, outsiders look at the age of your starting safeties and assume that's an issue for you. Is it an issue for you?
Well, I think, you know, if you don't look at age, I think you're making a mistake. But people said that last year. You know, all of a sudden we got John Lynch in the Pro Bowl. So, and then we got Nick Ferguson that played extremely well before he got hurt. So the people that were saying, hey, you know, your safeties are old, well, we had two of the best safeties in the league. So, you know, does someone fall off a cliff? Sometimes they do. One of the things that I think we have that, you know, if a guy that's 35 years old or 36 or 32, 33 is going to go through our off-season conditioning program and run and do the work that's expected of them, usually they're going to have a great year. The guys that don't do that and say, hey, you know what, I'm getting a little bit too old for that, then it's very hard for them to have the type of year that we would expect just because of the conditioning level. But to go through that type of off-season program, I mean, you got to be in great shape, and the chances are that it'll give you a chance to be successful. Saying that, you're always trying to be young. So, you know, you're always trying to bring young guys in and have guys compete and hopefully win a position.
You were talking before about moving guys down because of character, things like that. You've been known as somebody that takes chances. How much of a risk taker do you think you are?
I'm a risk taker. There's no question about it. I love to gamble. But, you know, to me, it's got to be educated. You know, you've got to have some, it's got to be an educated gamble. It just can't be, you know, hey, I'm going to gamble on a guy. You got to really research him. You got to take a look at what makes him tick. What are the problems that he's had? Talk to his coaches, the teachers. You go back to grade school. You go back to high school. You talk to equipment people, trainers. And then maybe you're willing to take a chance on a guy that's had a checkered past. But a lot of times you can't change those spots. And if you can't change those spots, then you don't gamble. If you feel like, you know, this guy's got a chance, if you surround him in the right environment and you give him the right counseling, then you take that chance.
You alluded to this at the owners' meetings on a different topic, but I mean, do you feel like because you have the security, you just talked about contract, that maybe you would take a chance that maybe other people might be hesitant because you feel like you have that security? And
I don't think it's security. I don't look at myself as security. Just because you have 5 years left on a contract doesn't mean you can't get fired next year. I think we're all smart enough to know that. You know, everything's based on winning and running a good organization. So I'm going to continue to run a good organization. It has nothing to do with security. I mean, you know, security is winning championships.
You aren't in the market for one, but physically, have you ever seen a player quarterback, Russell?
You know, until a guy actually plays at the pro level, you know, it's you're always guessing. You know, you really don't know. You know, people can say, hey, this guy can throw the ball 80 yards, a flick of his. How do they play under pressure? You know, how do they get along with their teammates? What kind of leaders are they? So, you know, everything's just not based on talent. You know, things, you know, there's so many things that are involved. And, but we understand to get to that top position, you have to have talent. Now, the great ones have both. And we'll find out in time, you know, if they have both.
Guy that big
behind center? No, I can't really. Can't remember a guy that big. You know, I haven't been around him. I've never seen him in person. I watch him on TV and I look at his pictures from the combine. But he is a big human being. He looks like an offensive tackle, a big offensive tackle.
Jarvis Moss, your thoughts?
Oh, come on, man. Come on. You guys, man, this is my 13th year. You guys are treating me like a rookie. You guys really are.
Huh. Obviously, you're excited about the kid.
Wait, that's a no comment?
No. I'll talk about Jarvis. Nice. Horrible. Can't play.
Here they'll expand. Obviously, you're excited about Cutler, but how difficult is it to project his progress from his rookie year to next year?
Oh, that's a good question. The kid's going to keep on getting better and better because he works out every day. He's out there throwing with the wide receivers, the tight ends, the running backs. He enjoys the game. You have guys that enjoy the game, that are smart, that have talent, they will get better and better. You got to give them a supporting cast where they have a chance to be successful, and this kid will be successful. Because, you know, hopefully we can, you know, you always got a chance of injury. You always could lose a couple guys. But, you know, we expect these guys in our backup positions, even if they do go down, to step up and, you know, get the job done. But he will get better and better. He's got a chance to be really good. That's why you like a guy like Ramsey, a guy that you feel like can come in if you do lose a guy. It doesn't, you know, people are just, you know, they don't fall off a cliff because you don't have a guy that's been there. A young guy that's experienced, that's hungry to get better, and wants to be with an organization that has a chance to win and maybe a support group that he feels very confident in. And he's been working out extremely well.
Between the various things you've heard about teams that want to move up to get certain players, mm-hmm. and the general consensus that a bunch of teams would like to move down at mm-hmm. the bottom of the round, how much movement in general do you expect?
You know, usually not very much, you know. To give you an example, okay, how rumors get started. I have never talked to Houston, okay? Never talked to Houston.
Never? You've never talked to Cooper?
No. I mean, relative or Rick about any possible movement up or down. The last time we talked to Detroit was 1 week after the combine. So with all the rumors and speculation that goes on, you can see how once that snowball starts going, it just starts going. So. Those are the only two I'll admit to. Everything else
don't
is kind of off.
Don't you have a cell phone? What's the drill?
So you're talking to everybody else. Like
this too. No. I can't go into that because you might catch me a little fib there, right?
Does that mean Sunquist is talking to you?
I see.
So you said you haven't talked to him. Does that mean everybody else has?
Man, so you guys are catching on.
So if Al calls you tomorrow and says, what should you do with that first pick, what would you tell him?
Oh, I guarantee you that call's not coming to me. I don't have to worry about that one.
Do you like that or not like that? You got singled out on the NFL Network, the ESPN, or one of them. You're trying to move up, not like nobody else is. Is that an advantage? Is it disadvantage? Is it entertainment?
No, I think it's, you know, it's amazing to me what people find out. We were trying to move up. We talked to Detroit. We actually had the deal done, and the next day they decided they didn't want to do it. But it's, you know, it's those type of things that do happen. And I think it's great for TV. People are interested in who you're going to draft and, you know, if you are going to move up or move back. And I'm not really sure how it hit the press. Obviously, it leaked someplace. It didn't come from our organization. But those things do happen. And when they happen, yeah, you address it.
I'm confused. I thought you said you hadn't talked to Detroit since the combine.
1 week after the combine. I said we had a deal done then. Oh. The next day, we haven't talked to them since that time when they decided they didn't want to go in that direction.
Deal done to get number two.
Yeah. Changed the next morning, and here we are.
Did they say they were going to sleep on it?
You thought you caught me in a fib, didn't you?
No, I thought you were Josh.
No. Oh, no. Hey, I don't make things up. You know me better than that, Dave.
Did they say they were going to sleep on it, or did they actually just, you know, change their mind and say yes and then go to the next
one? Well, they, you know, what they do is saying, hey, you know, we think we're in good shape. We like tonight to sleep on it, but we feel like we got the deal, but we won't say for sure until the morning. But hey, that happens all the time. The only reason I mention that is, you know, they have talked about it already, and it's been out on the wire.
Mike, with Brandon Marshall's off-season incident, does that affect at all how you address the wide receiver position in this draft?
Well, I know Brandon Marshall's incident, and I know what's going to happen, and he's completely fine, so that's not going to affect us at the wide receiver position.
So you say he's completely fine, you don't think he's going to have any kind of repercussions because of the new policy or anything like that?
I know he won't have any.
Yeah. Have you discussed behavior issues with him based on those incidents?
Yeah, you do. And obviously, you seek counseling, you seek help. And people understand. I mean, if somebody comes up to you and pushes you as an athlete or bumps into you or says something to you, you've got to be able to walk away. And, you know, my mentality is not that way. I know these players' mentality is not that way, but you know, you've got to be bigger than the situation. You can't come down to somebody else's level. You can't let somebody put you in a tough situation. You have to understand the role you're in, and a lot of these players don't understand it. And I don't want to get into detail about his situation, but you know, that's the counseling people need. You know, that's the counseling I needed coming out of school. I mean, if someone ever, you know, bumped into me or pushed me, the first thing you do is say, hey, you know what, I'm going to defend myself. Well, you can't do that now. And that's not the only thing. I know there's other situations where you got to walk away, you know, regardless. And those are the things that we're going to educate these players on more and more and let them understand they represent our organization and you have to be able to walk away.
There's been a lot of talk about him maybe being a starter, at least competing for it. Did that incident hurt him in the organization's eyes? In terms of on-field repercussions?
No, it didn't. But, you know, I think did I sit down and talk to him? Did I talk to him how you have to handle yourself within this organization? How many times you're going to be tested? You're not going to get any second chances. I don't care if somebody did take something away from you. It doesn't matter. You've got to be bigger than the situation. I don't care if somebody hits you. You got to be able to walk away. That's hard to do. It's hard to do when these, you know, from some of the backgrounds that we're all from. But some of the situations you're dealing with. I'm not talking about getting punched now. I'm just talking about, you know, some of the situations that happen.
You applaud Goodell's hardline stance, though.
I think it's great because what happens now is that, you know, we all know that if you get arrested, you know, we all know you can plea bargain. And all of a sudden you get off for a lesser cause. The commissioner's going to look at something saying, hey, you know what? We're not going to plea bargain this. I've looked at the scenario and this person's guilty. He's going to be suspended. I think that's great. What it makes people do is they're accountable for their actions. And regardless on what you may get off for, the commissioner's going to look at it and saying, hey, you know what? I think this deserves a suspension. I think it's good. I just think it's good for the league. It's the image we'd like to portray.
For you, is it the most important thing sitting down and, like, you know, you, Sauerbrunn came back and, you know, had his thing and Travis Henry's had his thing. Is it the most important thing for you to sit down, look the guy in the eye and really get a feel for that part of it to know whether he's going to be a problem?
Well, I mean, it's a good question. And it kind of goes back to, you know, an educated background or educated gamble. But these guys know one time they're gone. You don't get second chances. So sometimes I think that's the best situation, and that's the situation we're in now with Roger, our commissioner. He looks at a situation and he says, hey, you know what? You're gone. Well, these guys know they are. So the Travises, you know, Travis knows what situation he's in, and Todd knows what situation he's in, and we'll find out. But if I didn't believe in these guys, and I feel like they were quality people, and they got a good chance to do the right thing, they wouldn't be here. I'm just hoping they do the right thing.
You mentioned the Detroit thing. Are you surprised that Denver always seems to be thrown out? Like, I mean, almost every rumor in the offseason, the Broncos are always involved, it seems like.
Well, I think they know that, well, you know, we will make deals if it's right for us and hopefully right for them. So they know we're not afraid to do that. So when rumors get started, no, it doesn't surprise me. Now, if we always sat back and we didn't make any trades, those rumors would never obviously be out there.
Reverend Ann Kelly tells me that he's got to have some sort of an arrangement to talk to your players in view of the Darren Williams case. Is it more important now, in your opinion, is it more dangerous for your players out in the community in certain circumstances and more important for you to teach lessons about them?
Well, we will talk about that in detail. I can't get into detail about that. I probably can more in the next 3 weeks, talk to you specifically about some of the questions you're asking. But I guarantee you the questions that you are talking about right now are being addressed at this time. And I'd like to talk about it in 3 or 4 weeks because I could be honest with you right now, I can't. Okay?
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks. Okay.